The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what's new in the recovery world?
We have an interesting story basically about a new Stanford study. What they're finding is, you know, the alcohol flush that people get where you get a warm sensation that goes up your face and up your ears, and certain people get this. This new study has come out, and what they're saying is roughly 8% of the population has this reaction, and new mice studies are showing that there was an inflammatory response in someone's blood vessels when they have this, which restricts blood to the heart and leads to coronary heart disease. So before it was thought of this harmless reaction to drinking, and now they're actually linking it to coronary heart disease. And they're also put in there that they're finding an increase in cancer, which is directly a result of drinking.
Really?
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you never would think of that. And it's good for people to know that if people are still drinking, get that checked out.
Right.
If you're having that
what
reaction.
What else you have?
The second one, positive marijuana tests have been growing at an alarming rate with truck drivers. Nearly 41,000 truck drivers tested positive for marijuana in 2022. This is actually a 32% increase over 2021. Cocaine, methamphetamines, and amphetamines came next. The largest, again, was marijuana. And this is disturbing. You know, this is definitely disturbing because these guys are DOT certified, and marijuana is clearly shown to impair driving ability.
Right. They have the CDL licenses,
yes.
The commercial licenses. So that's real. That is really frightening because when those trucks go out of control, it can compared to a car going out of control, it's pretty damaging.
It impairs reaction time. So
absolutely, if you think if you have a medical marijuana card, you can drive impaired. When we come back, our expert attorney Zach Cooper is going to tell us about all the laws, what everybody should look out for. Please don't go away. This will be very informative. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge, and you're listening to station WWDB.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are also heard on these great stations, WGAC, Augusta, Georgia, WHFS, Tampa, Florida, and WWWE, The Big Talk, 1100, in Atlanta, Georgia.
All over the country.
All over the country. All right, so we're back. So, our guest today is Zach Cooper, and he is a defense attorney for people who get jammed up while driving impaired. Now, we want to make a statement that On this show, and all of us in here, including Attorney Cooper, we are not we do not condone driving impaired in any single way. But we do feel it's important for everybody to understand the law and know what the consequences could be. So welcome to the show, Attorney Zachary Cooper.
Resident.
Thank you for having me back. It's been a little bit, but yeah, it's good to be back.
A resident DUI attorney.
We always say that. So I'm going to start out with the marijuana stuff, but this is a large field that you represent, any kind of infractions, I'm assuming mainly with automobiles. Is that correct?
Correct. It's a lot, I mean, 99% of it's with automobiles. It can be any, you know, motorized vehicle, you know, even – so – but the cars is pretty much what it's – what it comes down to. And marijuana is rampant. I mean, it's huge.
And I think, Zach, that people believe that if you have a medical marijuana card, you can drive car blanche. It doesn't matter. But – it's not true, is it?
It is not true. Medical marijuana, you know, the medical marijuana card makes you, the person allowed to smoke marijuana legally, you know. But just like I tell them, just like, you know, you can drink alcohol, it doesn't give you the right to drink alcohol and then get in a car and drive. Right. Marijuana is different, though, because, you know, it stays in your system for 30 days or more. So there's that issue as to what you're supposed to do. Now, I will say that the Pennsylvania Board of Pardons, they're talking about, you know, doing something to allow people with low-level marijuana convictions to apply to have certain things pardoned or expunged earlier.
Well, there's a program in Pennsylvania called Pathways to Pardons, which would allow somebody to do that. But let me ask something, Zach. Marijuana is not federally approved. So it's state by state. There's nothing that really makes it so there's a uniformity in marijuana. So the THC is the issue, right? And the levels of THC are the issue. How – there's no machines that can tell that somebody is impaired driving. So if somebody is pulled over, is it blood? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so Pennsylvania is a blood state, and really what it comes down to is this. Pennsylvania basically states that, you know, you cannot drive or operate a motor vehicle on the roadways with any marijuana or Schedule I substance or its metabolites.
Wow.
So that's a big deal.
Yes.
So people can get pulled over and only have the metabolite. So THC, 9 or Delta, you know. If it's just a metabolite of marijuana, under the statute, you can still get a DUI for it even with a medical marijuana card.
Can you tell our audience what metabolite is?
So yeah, I mean basically when and it can happen in anything. When you're like taking drugs, basically the drug breaks down. I mean when you have marijuana in your system and you do it, THC, over time that breaks down into other things and there might be metabolites. Mm-hmm. Now I will say that there's studies that show that, for instance, within THC there's something called carboxy. You know, when I see the word carboxy, there's studies that show that that does not show impairment. So I might get somebody that has marijuana, they get blood tested, it gets sent to National Medical Services, it comes back, and the only thing in their blood is carboxy. I'll make a strong point that that in and of itself would not cause impairment. But for the most part, and that's the other thing, you can tell when someone smokes a lot because the nanograms per milliliter is way up there. When it's like, you know, 10, 30, 40 nanograms per milliliter, you could tell that they smoke daily. And until something changes, maybe the new governor will change it where there's going to be something in there for the DUI statute specifically for marijuana. As of right now, the way the law stands, it's completely illegal.
You know, Mark, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen it over years. We as a recovering people in the recovering community, there are those who – feel that just because a doctor prescribes you medication, it's okay to take and you're still sober. So I think that there's a percentage of people in recovery that are using medical marijuana and still saying they are sober.
So I'm a therapist, a
yes.
drug and alcohol counselor, and we're seeing this all the time where somebody's coming in and they're like, I have my medical marijuana card. And it's really causing some issues because, as we know, we see so many times somebody is still doing that and it leads back. However, there are cases where for pain, people are off the opioids and they're using it for pain. So it's a controversial issue.
Yeah. No, I've often said, yeah. I think you would agree with me, if somebody absolutely legitimately needs it for pain,
yeah.
who's somebody to tell somebody they can't get out of pain, you know?
Yeah, but for a lot of people that I treat, it's kind of like they think of it like a get out. You're killing me. It's it's like a get out of jail free. You know, like, yeah. I got my card. I mean, I am good.
Most of the people that I deal with from day one, when they tell me the only thing I have is marijuana, but I have a medical marijuana card, Mr. Cooper, they say all the time. They don't know the law. They think that because they have that medical marijuana card, that gives them carte blanche to do whatever they want, get behind the wheel of a car or anything like that. They don't understand whether it's a medical marijuana card or they're not. It's still the same impairment. You know, they're still putting the THC in their system, and the law states that you can't drive with that in your system. So,
Zach, how do you deal with the clients that have smoked or whatever they did with the marijuana, and 10 days later – can they be pulled over and they're still intoxicated?
Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the easiest way to say this is, I mean, you could be smoking completely legally in a state. You don't even need a medical marijuana card. Just let's say you're in Colorado smoking legally. You get pulled over in Pennsylvania 25 days later. And if that marijuana comes back in your system, you're getting a DUI in Pennsylvania. They don't look into where you smoked it. Did you smoke that day? Where did you smoke? Was legal? So when you say, how do I deal with it? We have to get the report. We have to see what the nanograms per milliliter are. We have to talk to the DA. But I can tell you right now, I deal with all the DAs. Nobody's going to care that they smoked 15 or 20 days ago. Jeez. All they care about is it's in your system. That's a DUI under the statute.
Jeez, you know, listen, Mark, we've been saying this for years. This legalization of marijuana is complicated beyond belief.
Yeah.
And I'll throw another one in there. Yeah. What about cases of you're seeing this Delta 8, which is sold over the counter. And certain CBDs that have a little bit of THC. Are you seeing people with Delta 8?
I haven't seen a lot of the Delta 8, but I know it's out there because I can see it on some of the listservs and other people have issues with that. But it's sort of what Gary said. When they legalized marijuana, it just opened up the can of worms because the law for DUI was not ready for the legalization of marijuana. And that's a big deal because – they changed the law for marijuana, but they didn't change the law for DUI. And eventually there's going to – like for – you know, when someone's drinking, we have a legal limit. It's a 0.08 in Pennsylvania. We don't have that for medical marijuana or any marijuana. You know, you can't just smoke and say, okay, well, I only am 2 or 3 nanograms per milliliter. I'm good to drive. And to get to a point that Gary mentioned before, as of right now, a lot of my clients have what are called ignition interlocks devices put in their car. And – you don't have that for medical marijuana or any marijuana. So I have people – this is also a lot of people where all they have is marijuana in their system. But PennDOT requires them to put the interlock in their car still. They don't drink at all.
Oh, my Lord.
They don't drink at all. But they got to put this device in their car. They know they're going to come up clean every time because they don't drink. But the marijuana is not going to show.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I like what you said, that the legalization came before the law.
Right.
If you're just joining us now, we're talking with attorney Zach Cooper, who is an expert in DUI and all sorts of impairment on the road. And if you're just listening and you want to watch us, go to our website, Clean and Sober. Go to Facebook, and our page, Clean and Sober Radio. And you can watch us do the show like these folks: Michael Shoemaker, Debbie Reynolds, Robert Keepsey, Laura Story, and we'll get to the rest of them in a little while. It's interesting stuff. Very complicated.
It is, and you know, just to put it in perspective, you have people that smoke pretty often, and I get the tests back. And they have a couple hundred nanograms in their system, but they could – so you're saying they could go out even if they didn't smoke and they would get floored with the DUI even if it was a week later.
Yeah. I mean, right now, you got to remember, the police officers, where this all starts,
Yeah.
All they're trained to, okay, this guy's driving. He's driving erratically, whatever. They take his blood. The blood comes back. If there's any marijuana in the system at all, they're charging them with the DUI. There's no questionnaires for, well, when did you last smoke the marijuana? Did you smoke it 10 days ago? Did you smoke it 15 days ago? They don't care because it's not part of the law. If it's in your system, that's all that matters.
Will you be representing people at a certain point as far as employment issues with this?
Employment comes up more, and I deal with it now more so when people are driving company cars. You see a lot of people that get DUIs. They're driving company cars, and many of them get dismissed because they can't stay at that job if they lose their license. With DUIs, every single state in the country has a license suspension for a DUI, including Pennsylvania. So you lose your license for a year. CDL drivers, if they – even if they get that first-time offender program, which we've talked about before, ARD,
yeah,
they lose their license for 1 year, and then a second time it's a lifetime ban on a CDL. So that's what the law is right now for CDL drivers. Very difficult because that's their livelihood.
So – Zach, is there a conflict with your – what you do? I mean, you know you don't want people on the roads. They could kill somebody in your own family. But then again, you have an obligation as an attorney because everybody has the right to an attorney to represent people. What kind of conflict do you have?
I mean, there, listen, it's – I agree. I mean, I don't want anybody – I don't want my friends, my loved ones, my daughters driving right now. So it's scary out there. But – you know, it's my job is to make sure that when I'm representing these individuals, they get the best, you know, sometimes I don't even like to use the word defense. A lot of times it's not even defense. It's to make sure that they get the best outcome, whether it's a mitigated outcome, a reduced license suspension, maybe stay out of jail. I push, just so you know, the minute I talk to these people, especially first or second or third, and I know they have a problem, I push for treatment all the time. I mean, the first thing I tell them to do is you need to find some type of outpatient treatment or even inpatient treatment just to get them the help. And the courts now are they're much more open to letting people do the treatment and be on house arrest rather than jail. Yeah. So I'm trying to help them at the same time.
And you could probably, you know, AA, NA, all that kind of stuff.
All that stuff. And, you know, for the most part, my clients are very receptive to going to these places. But I have people that say even with multiple DUIs, I don't have a problem. You know, I don't have a problem. It was a bad night. I don't have this, so I'm not going to treatment. I was there for 2 days. The people that were talking, that's not me. So, I mean, this is what I hear my clients say. So, you guys understand, I can only do so much as the attorney to get them to do the treatment, but I recommend it to everybody because I know the judges in these courts will use that as mitigation. So, you know, and I'm telling them to do that.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, I guess you have to consider if somebody is an alcoholic or an active drug addict, they're not thinking clearly.
Did you hear about – I mean, speaking of yesterday in Montgomery County Court, there was –
Montgomery County is a suburb of Philadelphia.
Oh, I'm sorry. So in court, there was a woman that worked for a school district out in the area, and she supplied alcohol to four younger individuals at the school, kids. And she worked for the school district, and they went out, drove, and killed somebody.
No. So she was responsible?
The judge yesterday, the judge sentenced her to 2 to 5 years in state prison for supplying the alcohol, and then someone died. So
I mean, how stupid can you be? Well, you know what?
Stupid.
You would know better. Nobody thinks they're going to get caught.
Nobody does.
Nobody.
And you could see, like, if you're a parent and your kid's 18 and you're like, you know, you could see that kind of angle come up.
Nobody thinks they're going to get caught as the truth. Yeah. In fact, I always tell everybody and my clients say, you're right when I tell them, even my first time offenders, I say, listen, this is the first time you got caught, you know. There's a good chance that they've been driving drunk before, and most of them always say, you're right. And so no one ever thinks they're going to get caught. But it's amazing with the DUIs because when I was younger, there was no Uber, there was no Lyft, none of that stuff was available. So now you would think that like there's no excuse for a DUI. You can call these people whenever and get a ride somewhere.
But if you're drunk, do you call Uber or do you get in your car?
So that's the thing, the impairment part of it, right? Where, I mean, and then you know what it was for me at least? It was like, well, I can just drive to Wawa. It's only a block away, you know?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you getting a ton more clients for marijuana? And are people floored when you tell them that you could get a DUI and you smoked 3 weeks ago.
People don't know when I talk to them about marijuana. They think marijuana is just legal, and they didn't know that you can get these a DUI for smoking marijuana. But to answer your question, most of my DUIs are not alcohol anymore. The majority of them are – and I'm going to – whether it's marijuana or drugs, opioid, I mean whatever it is, everyone has some drugs in their system.
Yeah,
I mean it's crazy. So very rarely do I get someone that – you know now that says, oh, I got a DUI. It was just alcohol pulling for – it's – I was alcohol. Oh, I also had – marijuana in my system. I did cocaine for the first time a couple days.
Of course. They always say
it's
that.
It's always the first time.
I know.
That's what I always say. I did Quaaludes once from 1975 to 1982.
Right, right.
Oh, same thing.
It was a long once.
Yeah, right.
I get that a lot with employment. For the first time ever, I went out and used cocaine, and they drug tested me at my work the next day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Happened at just, you know, bad luck.
Bad luck. It just happened to happen.
If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941. And here's the opportunity to speak with an attorney for nothing and get some information, which is – and we'll get to where you can actually reach a Zach Cooper if you need him. All right. Also, if you need help now – The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP is available. 1-800-662-HELP. It is for real. You can be helped. And Mark, you have the
988 is the suicide hotline. Don't lose hope. If you lose hope, reach out. They'll help you.
Yeah.
988.
Yeah, they're important numbers.
Very important.
You know, when you feel alone, you're isolated. Mm-hmm. You bring up isolation a lot.
Stuck in a moment.
Call.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuck in a moment. Often it's somebody doesn't really want to die. They just don't want to feel the pain.
Right. That's a scary, scary, scary thing. Again, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Zach Cooper, who's an expert on impairment. It's a serious, it's a real deal, man. I'll tell you something. I'm lucky now. You know, it's 40 years that I don't have to deal with it. And when Zach brought up the Intoxilock, the device in the car,
yeah,
man, does that cause problems? Besides, you can't use, you know, when you take your car in to get serviced,
oh, yeah,
somebody has to blow into that thing for them to move the car. There are so many, right, Zach? There's so many things.
I mean, the idea for the interlock is smart, I think, because it's a deterrent to keep people from driving, because before that, you know, people would say, fine, your license is suspended. I'm just going to get in the car and drive. So if they have this in the car, the problem, like Gary said, is there's so many problems with the way that it was rolled out and the way these things, you know, sometimes you blow into it and it detects something. I mean, for instance, I tell people all the time, do not take Listerine, mouthwash,
right,
anything like that. It's so sensitive that when you blow into this, your car's not going to start. And then you got to wait like 15 or 20 minutes. And then it registers. And then it looks bad when you go to the court.
It can cut off right in the middle of the road.
Absolutely.
So my suggestion is, if you have the Intoxilock, do not brush your teeth for a year.
Right.
That's what I would
say. Now, I will say this. I just had someone this morning in Chester County, and it was a bad couple DUIs that he has. The one thing that I'm having some people do now is put this in their car proactively to show the court that they put this in. And, you know, because most people don't do that. It's also very expensive. The interlock is very, very expensive. So
it's over $1,000 a year.
Yeah. And you got to install it. You got to take it out. It's a lot.
So listen, when we come back,
yes,
if you think just getting pulled over is sort of a joke, Attorney Cooper is going to tell you, you can absolutely go to jail for this stuff. No joke. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost, and encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery, Kevin Heyer, the Heyer Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HeyerCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hi, this is Randy the Blade Lurch. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We're with attorney Zachary Cooper. So, Zach, tell us some what can happen to you if you get pulled over. What can really happen? First time, second time, you know, and mommy and daddy can't get you out of it.
All right. So the way it works, the bottom line is in Pennsylvania, ARD is considered what is called an escalating offense. Very simply put, the more DUIs you get, the higher the penalties go. So, I mean, a first offense DUI with someone with a crystal clean record like nothing will be able to get into a diversionary program called ARD if they fit that mold. In other words, there can't be an accident with serious injuries. If your blood alcohol level is through the roof, like above a 0.20 or a 0.25, some district attorney's office will deny you ARD. But if you get ARD, it gives you a chance to wipe your record clean. There's no jail time. There's no house arrest.
Lose your license?
You lose your license for 60 days instead of a one-year suspension.
Is this just for alcohol? What about drugs?
So the way it works is this. For ARD, any drugs in your system, no matter how much alcohol is in your system, any drugs at all in your system automatically puts you at the highest tier. So if you have drugs in your system under ARD, it's an automatic 60-day license suspension. Okay. If you don't get ARD and you have drugs in your system, it's a mandatory one-year license suspension. And now to get into basically what PennDOT says is if you don't get ARD and there's a conviction for DUI, you're mandated to put this interlock device in your car for a year. So that's mandated. Second offense DUI, you're not getting ARD. I can tell you that right now.
And let's just clear. ARD is accelerated rehabilitation disposition. Is
yeah,
that what it says?
ARD, accelerated ARD is accelerated rehabilitative disposition. Each county in Pennsylvania runs their own ARD unit. So they all have their own rules and regulations as to who can get on, and the judges have nothing to do with it.
And I would think this is not just in Pennsylvania. Across the country, there are different rules
correct.
And regulations.
Yes, correct. Depending on which state you are, most states will have different first-time offender programs for DUIs. Pennsylvania's is ARD. Jersey has their own. So depending on where you are, that's where it is. Pennsylvania, though, for a second offense DUI – depending on what your blood alcohol level is or if there's drugs in your system, you're looking at 5 days at a minimum up to 90 days in jail, okay, for a second offense DUI. Now, remember, that's the minimum. 90 days that the judge has to give you is the minimum. He could give you up to 5 years depending on the facts of the case and everything like that. Now, before I get into a third, I will say that the majority of judges that I deal with now and the majority of courts are more open than they were ever, including the district attorney's office, to other types of programs like inpatient treatment. Inpatient treatment, for instance, in the courts that I work in will count day for day. So if someone does 90 days inpatient and they're looking at 90 days jail time, they will get credit for that whole 90 and walk out of court with me when we're done.
But this seems to be the problem. Where do you get 90 days inpatient treatment? And you know, that's very difficult.
Well, it's very difficult. I do have clients that most of them have a lot of money to be able to pay.
Okay.
I mean, if you have money, you can pay for the 90 days. 90 days inpatient treatment is crazy expensive. And I didn't know until I started getting into it how much it was. Most people cannot do 90 days. I agree with you.
Correct.
So what I usually tell people to do is, let's say someone does 30 days inpatient treatment. They usually do that, and immediately afterwards they'll follow that up with intensive outpatient treatment. Yeah. So it's like, you know, so it looks good when we go to court. But unfortunately, the judges will only give you credit for the inpatient treatment in where I am, not the intensive outpatient treatment.
Yeah, because that can be fudged pretty good. Right,
right.
Mark?
Yeah, and I get it a lot with clients that are in IOP. And, right. you know, it seems like, you know, it helps, like you were saying.
It helps. It helps. I mean, I had a client. I'm laughing because, you know, the judge wanted to see where my client was for inpatient treatment. And all we had to bring to court was a letter in this brochure. If I showed you this brochure of where my client was for inpatient treatment, you would book a vacation at this place. It was in
Malibu, California.
It was in Florida. It was a treatment facility. Yeah. It was gorgeous. The amenity, I mean, it had everything that you would want.
Yeah.
And he gave him credit for it because it was accredited inpatient facility, but you know, it's expensive. So yeah. that does get there. And then banking on that, when you get to a third offense DUI,
yes.
you know, now they made it, if you're at the highest level, okay, they made it a felony, which is, you know, new the last couple of years, and you're looking at a mandatory minimum. In other words, when I say mandatory minimum for the audience, the judge's hands are tied. The judge can't give you less than the mandatory minimum, and it's a year in state prison here. That's the mandatory minimum if you have drugs in your system or your blood alcohol levels a 0.16 or higher for a third offense.
Yeah, this is no joke. You know, this is
a year.
This is no joke.
And then the other thing is it's up to the judge, even if they do treatment for a third offense, since it calls for state prison time, sometimes at that point, it depending on who the judge is, what the judge is going to do to maybe keep them in county if he does like 30 days inpatient to get them into – because 11 and a half to 23 would be a county sentence. But once you hit that state prison sentence, sometimes the judges, you know, their hands are tied as to what they can do. Because that's written in the statute that it's a year in state prison.
Nobody, the problem is nobody believes it's going to happen to them.
I know.
And it hits in streaks a lot of times where somebody will get a couple in a couple months.
Oh, I have a few people right now where they have multiple DUIs within yeah. like 6 months. And these yeah. are – you know, people always think that they're going to be – you know, like you said, it's not going to happen to me. These are regular people just like you and I that I would hang out with that are getting DUIs, multiple DUIs, and they're looking at significant time in jail right now. Yeah. They don't want to do the treatment. You know, they don't want to go into court to show the judge that they're not going to do it again. So they're just going in there. And I told them, you know, you need to paint a picture. That's what I tell people. You know, like, paint a picture to the judge that from the day that this happened, you're doing everything properly to make sure that mm-hmm. this doesn't happen again. And if you go in there with no treatment and no plan going forward, you're pretty much giving yourself to the mercy of the court. And it's not good. I mean, you're looking at jail time. Now, I can tell you that a lot of the places now will also be open to house arrest. So that's another thing that years ago they weren't willing to do, but now they are.
And house arrest is where you wear a bracelet, right?
It's where you wear a bracelet. That's actually not as easy to get into depending on where you are because there's restrictions on if they're putting a bracelet on you, can you monitor someone over county lines? So for instance, if someone lives in Philadelphia, which is a suburb of Philadelphia, and they get a DUI in Montgomery County, sometimes they won't allow that person to do house arrest because it's not within the county.
I had on a side note, I had this girl that I used to hang out with. And she got in all kinds of trouble. And, you know, I went over there and she had one of those bracelets on. And she's like, let's go out for coffee. And she just left.
She just left
me to get coffee.
Well, that would go right to – wouldn't that go right to the
– Yeah.
Yeah, they would get an immediate alert that, wait, this person like left. Now, when you're on house arrest, yeah. you can get permission to go to and from work, yeah. which is a plus. To and from school, which is a plus, but you can't go to Starbucks.
She went to get coffee.
And just get a latte. I mean, I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, would she get arrested? Like, she didn't get arrested.
No,
but they didn't send the cops.
I've had people on house arrest where they say, okay, this person left. What happens is it's pretty simple. They come to your house, they disconnect a bracelet, and they put you in jail to serve the remaining time.
Yeah.
It's not like you get like, okay, strike one. Well, you know, you get thrown in jail. That's what happens.
Attorney Zach Cooper is giving us a lot of incredible information, and a lot of our audience now is watching, Mark.
Yes, they are.
Let me just – Laura's story. Hey, guys. Happy Sober Friday. Looking forward to a great show. Have an awesome weekend. Be safe and stay sober. Welcome to the guest speaker. Joel Cooper is watching. What a great guy. Judge Christopher Maddox is watching.
Robert Kipsey, one of our guests. Nothing's going to change because they make so much money from taxes.
Todd Klotz, riding high is a mistake I made. Some higher power was watching over me at all times. I did crash once when I was smoking, and I did get lucky not getting busted. You got lucky, man.
Yeah, he did.
Pat Carpenter's watching. Steven Sussman, hello from Palm Beach. Why don't you rub it in a little, Steve?
I know. And we got Mike Hepp, Fast Help for Drug and Alcohol Addiction, does some service.
Yeah. How about Robin Davidson is watching?
Kevin Gleason, our old buddy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
Monica McNally.
If Corny
is watching. We haven't heard from her in a while.
I know.
You did it. Pete Smith. Frank DeSantis. Laurie J. Mazin. Hi, guys. On the legal side, because she's a lawyer, what about CBD? Does that have metabolics in it?
Some do.
Some do?
Yeah, some do. So it depends on – see, that's the other thing. These kids, everyone's – I say kids, but everyone's taking marijuana. And I this is huge because you have all these people saying, oh, they're getting the marijuana from someone. Nobody knows what's in that marijuana.
Okay? Fentanyl?
Fentanyl. And it just takes, you know, a minute grain of fentanyl to kill you.
Right.
So, you know, kids, you know, adults, whoever it is, they're taking this marijuana. They're getting it from somebody that they got it from. They don't know what's in that marijuana, which – all of a sudden, they say, why was I even so impaired? You asked when the blood comes back, what else? Well, if there's other stuff in that marijuana, that's going to come back in the blood as well. And they're going to say, I never took that. And it's in the marijuana. So they don't know what they're taking.
So Delta 8 would show up on the test.
Yeah, they would show up on the test. Exactly.
What is Delta 8?
Delta 8 is very close to Delta 9 THC. So it's still THC, but it comes from the hemp plant, and it's over the counter, and it still gets somebody high.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people are doing this, and I'm sure, you know, could lead to DUIs too. I wanted to ask you too. I smell it everywhere. Like I'm driving down 95. I'm driving. Like, what happens if somebody, you know, gets pulled over and they're having a clam bake in their car? You know, like that. You know, there's the old days of like
the Cheech and Chong where you roll down the window and it's just like a puff of smoke.
Like you see people are smoking in their cars are 95.
I mean, listen, marijuana, even my kid, it has such a distinctive smell that no matter where you are, you know, you're like, I know what that is. So, I mean, listen, the cops are not dumb. They're trained. So if they're pulling you over for running a stop sign and you roll down your window and all of a sudden a poof of smoke comes out and it smells like, you know, you're high as a kite in there, they're going to further the investigation and ask you to get out of the car and they're going to do the field sobriety test. And all of a sudden that's going to turn into, you know, a DUI. I mean, I have cases where the driver is asked to get out of the car because their occupants are smoking. You know, and then, you know, because they're the driver, they're saying, okay, well, we want to still run through these tests with you to make sure you're okay and everything.
Is that an issue at all? That's interesting. If you're the driver, you're tested, there's nothing in you, but everybody else in the car is smoking. Any of that get in you and register?
Yeah. I mean, listen, when someone's smoking marijuana right next to you, you're breathing that in. Now, obviously, you're not going to get as much as if you're literally smoking it out of, you know, a joint or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you're breathing that in and you're taking it in, absolutely that can get in to your system. I mean, one of the judges that I deal with that I believe, you know, in Montgomery County, he runs the drug court program, okay? And he tells people, because I was there, he's like, listen, we're going to put you on the drug court program, but don't come to me with any excuses. For instance, don't tell me that you ate a bagel with poppies
brownie
he hears all that all the time. So there's so much stuff that you can put in your system that's going to register as, okay, this is why that's in my system. I ate a poppy seed, you know. So they don't want to hear any of that.
Does poppy seeds really register as heroin?
MythBusters says that you'd need enormous amounts. I mean, gigantic amounts for it to register. However, I'm not so sure, and it's because I do a lot of drug testing with my job, and I've had things where I kind of believed the person that was using poppy seeds because it was a very, very low amount. Who knows? I mean, maybe it was wrong. The biggest excuse in the book right now is I was at a party, And there was a plate of brownies, and it happened to have THC in it. That's like one of the biggest go-to excuses. Like, you get people, they come in and they don't realize that you hear this excuse that's always used.
Well, Zach, does that work?
No, it's not going to work. I would get all my clients off if I said, you know. But what's crazy is that a lot of the younger kids now, and I'm talking high school and even middle school. Because I see it where my kid, they're carrying around vape pens.
Yeah.
And it's like a big deal, and like they're vaping, and you can put little cartridges in there and all this other stuff. So, you know, it's crazy, because I never had that when I was growing up, or I didn't see it, or I didn't do it. But now it's like the norm. And it is the norm where people are just smoking it like it's no big deal. And it's just going to get them in more trouble. Because I represent a lot of kids that are underage. I also do that a lot.
Oh my God!
Underage.
So, for instance, I just had a huge party get busted, and you know the parents all called for underage drinking, and there was marijuana there, and all of a sudden they get brought to court. Now they took away the law where underage drinking you don't lose your license anymore for that.
Okay.
But a lot of these kids and a lot of they don't want this on their they don't want to put it on their college transcript when they're applying and stuff like that. So. You know, it scares the hell out of them, which is a good thing. We go to court and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in front of a judge now for, just being at a party, drinking and stuff like that.
So you're literally, there's a party that gets busted over the weekend, and Monday morning, Zach Cooper's getting calls finds out about it because everybody's going to him after this.
It's this particular party spread like wildfire. All of a sudden, I was getting calls from like seven parents, such and such, such and such. Yeah. So I just literally took them all, and we all went to court, and I just, we took care of it. But it was talking to the judge, it was the parents that she was,
Of course.
She got hit with like – the parents, I think it was almost like 40 counts of underage drinking, furnishing alcohol to minors.
There's a monetary amount for each kid, isn't there?
Well, there's not only a monetary, but it can turn into a misdemeanor. Like that case is going to go up to the court of common pleas. I mean, 40 counts of – think about it. All it takes is one of those kids to get behind the wheel of a car, God forbid, kill someone. Just like I told you before, those parents can be held liable.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's scary. So, it's not like I don't see it, because I do. I see it, with, even my kids and their friends and all this other stuff. So I always talk to them. I said, listen, don't do this, don't do that. Or, I tell them, if you're at a party and the cops come in, this is what you should do. I tell them. So.
And again, the show, we don't condone.
I know.
No.
We don't. No. Listen, you have a job to do.
Right.
So there's a little bit of a conflict. We don't condone any of this nonsense, except you're entitled to know what the law is. So don't act surprised the second time you get pulled over and you're convicted that you're doing 20-some months in a prison.
And this happens to everybody. I was just on the phone yesterday with a correction officer that just got a DUI. So, you see it, on both sides, but – again, I told him the same thing. I said, listen, in where you are right now, the number one thing you can do to help yourself is to call and get outpatient treatment immediately. Because some of the judges – and I don't know if you see this, Mark. Some of the judges will say to me, for clients that don't get inpatient or outpatient right away, they say, well, why did you wait 8 months to get it? Did your attorney tell you to do it? So I tell them, listen, you need to go in right away so it looks like you didn't even talk to – this way it looks better for you, because a lot of judges now are asking why you waited so long afterwards. They think it's because they see the offer from the DA and they say, oh, I better do something. So I'm getting that.
That's probably true. Lorna Denneke is watching. I think she's new to the show, Mark.
Nice. A newbie.
Patricia. There you go. Patricia Shively is watching. Welcome, Patricia. Dan Campbell's watching.
Robert Brandes
is watching. You got Mike Hepp, right?
Yes.
Get Kevin Gleason?
And we sure did.
All right. Dan Campbell, Chuck Williams. I'll tell you something. This attorney we have on today is drawing a lot of people.
And he's our resident clean and sober
radio. We always say that.
Attorney.
Listen, we're gonna take our final break, and we've come back. I want to ask Attorney Cooper, where is all this leading to in the legal genre. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, this is Dion, the Wanderer. Listen to Clean and Sober Radio. You might hear something that'll change your life. Yo!
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
All right, so it's 2023. We pretty much know what's going on here, and it's not getting any better. Zach, where do you see all this? I guess my question is, the usage is not going to subside. That's a given. But where do you think the courts are going with all this stuff?
I'll say this. I think that the DUI law, just like it has always been, I think it's going to gradually change over time. I know, for instance, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they were trying to get it down to a 0.05. You know, that hasn't happened, but they were trying to get it down to a 0.05. I think another thing that's going to really be, which this is another time we could talk about because there's so many articles on
it. Sure, yeah.
Which is the advent of electric cars, self-driving cars. Yeah. You know, that's a big one. Now, you know, for instance, there was a DUI in which someone was driving a Tesla and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of whatever state it was. And they said, well, the person is still in control of the car, so they're still going to get the DUI, even though they were in control. But – you know, I think that the laws are going to get tougher. You know, you see here in Pennsylvania, you know, a third offense is now a felony, and they're trying to make them so back-to-back DUIs in Pennsylvania, they can't be run concurrently anymore. They should be run consecutively.
Consecutively or concurrently?
No, they shouldn't be run concurrently together. They should be run consecutively one after another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the laws is going to get worse. I know that, you know, they're really, really pushing. I know it's not the best, but I know Pennsylvania and all the states in the country are really pushing for the interlock to be more out there. In fact, car manufacturers, I believe, in the future are going to be required to put the interlock in the car.
That makes a lot of sense right. In a lot of ways.
You know? But it doesn't solve the problem at all with any drug. So unless they put unless they put something in the car that can detect marijuana, cocaine, any type of drug, you're still having the majority of the population that's doing this getting DUIs.
Well, they should be able to do that. Technology.
I agree.
You know, it's all about research. I mean, that would be perfect.
I mean, if they did that. You know, that would be a good thing. I might be out of a job, by the way, but, you know, I mean, nobody would be getting DUIs. But
you might be out of a job after this show.
I mean, but no, I mean, in the future, DUIs are not going away. I mean, the numbers, even with Uber and Lyft and the interlocks, the numbers have not gone down with DUIs. I see the numbers in Pennsylvania all the time, and the numbers keep going up because people just, like you said, they think it's not going to happen to them. And, you know, it's definitely a very slippery slope because the first DUI is just the beginning and then you get the second and third and it just goes downhill.
I mean, do you know anything that's going on technologically-wise, of equipment that will be able to trace not just alcohol, but instead of having to go to the police station have blood drawn?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, there is technology right now. First of all, there's – just so you know, I have tons of DUIs now. It's out there where – a police departments have their own phlebotomist. So the actual phlebotomist is in an ambulance and would come to the actual scene of the DUI.
Okay.
So that's out there now. And the other thing that's out there right now, because I've read articles, I mean, we've been talking about it, they are doing – there's all these prototypes of marijuana interlocks. Not only marijuana interlocks, just like, you know, a portable breath test, a PBT, where they shove it in your face when they stop you for alcohol. They're going to have that for marijuana. That's definitely coming.
Could you imagine how many DUIs there would be?
It would be – I mean, listen, it would be through the roof because, for instance, which we didn't even – the legality of all these, like, for instance, they're everywhere. I mean, if you go on even this weekend, you'll see that there's all these sobriety checkpoints and they give you the PBT. If they have one for marijuana,
I mean,
the sky's the limit, because it's going to – you'll have people just being arrested left and right.
You're going to have a mansion and
I think what you said at the beginning of the show, it was enacted without the law.
That's,
I mean,
correct. It's like they didn't really think it out. They sort of said, you know what, we're going to enact this law, but we're not going to change, you know, yeah, what the law is. And it doesn't make any sense, because I'm seeing my client – I mean, I see people that – and this is really an issue. I see people with medical marijuana cards that, and I'm not a doctor, but I know that they need that medical marijuana card. They need it for pain, whatever they're dealing with, whether it's cancer. I mean, whatever ailment they have, that's why they're taking it. These people who are also driving, the minute they smoke, you're telling me that they can't get behind the wheel for 30 days? That doesn't make any sense.
No,
that's got to change.
It really does.
I mean, it's so crazy.
You know, it's funny. We're talking about this. We're so against usage.
I know, and
but
it's so crazy. I mean,
I don't even know what to say.
I mean,
except no, I think education's key.
Yeah.
You need to know what can happen to you.
Right. I mean, you got to know what the consequences are. You know, I tell people all the time when I'm talking to them on the phone, you know, what are you taking marijuana for? What are you smoking it for? What are you using it for? And this is the other thing, a lot of people, which I know you know, are getting medical marijuana cards that don't need it.
Well, of course.
Exactly. So, yeah. Right. So, you know, I have young kids that are getting medical marijuana cards, and they think like, oh, I got a medical marijuana card. I can get it. You know, I can drive. So they think, again, that they're invincible and they can't get a DUI. But, you know, I think you have to be educated on the law. But if you get a first – nobody knows what we're talking about today. Nobody knows that you can get a DUI for marijuana that you smoked 20 days ago until it happens, until I'm on the phone with them. And then they hear the penalties and they're like, this is crazy. I wasn't even high. I hear that all the time. I wasn't high when I was driving. I didn't smoke that day.
It's so crazy.
This is what I hear. And I say, that's fine. I'm not saying you were, but that's not the law. The law is it was in your system at the time you were operating your vehicle. That's what the law states. And until it changes, and it may change – you know, because I know that they tried to get something to the governor before Shapiro was in there. Maybe it will change. We don't know. But right now the law is any marijuana or its metabolite in your system, that's a DUI.
So the process is I get pulled over and I've smoked marijuana, and they're saying to me, you were driving erratically. We think you're intoxicated and we need to take you to the police station and have blood taken. Right?
Right.
And they say, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of these police stations now have someone called a DRE. A DRE. Not everyone has them, because you have to be certified for that. I actually am. It's crazy the course that they take. It's called a drug recognition expert. And they work for the police department and they go through a litany of tests. And this person at the end is supposed to really guess. I like to use the word guess as to what this – you know, person they pulled over is on. But to answer, you know, if someone gets pulled over and they feel that you're under the influence of something, no matter what it is, they're going to take you to a hospital for blood, or to the police station. They're going to take you and you're going to have blood drawn. If you refuse to take that test, if you refuse to take the chemical test under the law, you immediately will lose your license for 1 year in Pennsylvania if you refuse to take that test. So I tell people all the time, you know, if it happens again, you know, make sure that you take that test, because, like I said, you don't want to, you know, losing your license for a year for the refusal is completely separate than the DUI suspension. You could be not driving for 3 years.
All right. So, again, we do not condone any of this. But if you do get jammed up, Zachary, how do they reach you?
So they can reach me multiple ways. They can call me 215-542-0800, or they can reach me. My website is www.PADUIattorneys.law or yourpadUIattorney.com. Zachary Cooper, I'm on Google. You can, you know, look me up multiple ways, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you. Not a problem.
Interesting. Well, listen, it's a good service. You provide a good service. We condone this use, but everybody's entitled to an attorney.
I don't condone DUIs. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
Drinking and driving.
Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hedler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com.
On behalf of the group and ourselves, I hope we pass the audition.